Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. And today, we're going to talk about, obviously, the big fight and another big fight off. The Wilder Fury 3 apparently is off. We'll have all the details for you guys. But first, we're going to get started with ESPN, the big fight. Fight of the year so far, man. Fight of the year so far. Two big winners last night. One was Teofimo Lopez. The other was our very own Joe Habib. Habib, take a bow, man.
Yeah. I woke up this morning, and I checked the stock market.
Yes.
And Habib Industries was up 400 points. And our net worth went up about 35% after last night. I mean, we're just riding so high. But
it's Sunday. I know. I'm just saying it's Sunday and there's no action.
Well, I mean, I got a preview.
You got an early Monday preview.
So I just want to say one thing, and this isn't just for myself. This is on behalf of G-Funky Boxing, D-Style Boxing. The cyberbullying that we had to put up with for these last couple of weeks, just because we made a pick, you know, it was outrageous. So you know what? There's no hard feelings, but you know what? I'm going to make you motherfuckers remember.
That's right.
Remember last night.
Tell them.
Forever.
All time.
I'm going to be doing a Lomachenko-Lopez video. I'm going to be like, it's going to be a Lopez-Lomachenko marathon on this channel now. Because you guys are going to hear it forever.
Every day.
You're never going to live this down.
Never.
Ever.
Ever.
I come on here and I give you great information.
All the time.
Give you good betting advice for free. I don't even charge you.
We should be charging them, Habib.
And I teach you about the sport of boxing. I'm like a boxing instructor for you guys. If you were to take boxing lessons anywhere else, that would be about $80 to $100 an hour, and I give
at
it to
least.
You for free.
Free.
I give it to you for free.
I don't think you should do it anymore, Habib. I don't know if they appreciate you.
And you guys cyber-bullied me.
Cyber-bullied them.
Cyber-bullied me.
Mm-hmm.
Came on here with being so pretentious, so condescending.
Talking down to him.
So dismissive. And you were so cocky, all of you guys.
All of them.
Every single one of you guys were so despicably cocky. So just be prepared for the Lopez-Lomachenko
marathon.
Yes, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it every goddamn day now.
Every day, too.
For the rest of your lives.
For the rest of your life. Because you're going to be watching. We know you're going to be watching it. D-Style, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Habib, you try to tell them, they don't want
to
listen. They don't want to listen. How come they don't want to listen?
You know, and ESPN, they were getting a little ridiculous too.
Yeah,
there was like before the fight even started, they started showing like hyping up Lomachenko, and then Joe Testo goes like this. Listen to this one. Listen to this ridiculous statistic that he comes up with. Oh well, Lomachenko has the highest power punch percentage over any lightweight in history, even better than Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran has 119 fights. Lomachenko has 15. Roberto Duran fought till he was 50, okay? And I'm sure in those later years, obviously his connect percentage was going to go down because he was older. So again, these networks, they get a fighter. You think I ride with a fighter? These guys are 10 times worse than me. The way they talked about this guy, this was crazy.
Well, you know what's funny is last night you could really tell they were the house. He was the house fighter.
Oh my
no
god!
No question about it.
Oh my god!
And they
god.
Were both. You know the crazy part is they're both promoted by Arum. They're both promoted by Top Rank. They're both big stars from Top Rank. Just call the fight, man. That's all you got to do. Just call the fight, man. That's it.
Ridiculous.
If you were on a iceberg somewhere and didn't actually catch the fight. Scores, Teofimo Lopez wins by unanimous decision, 116-112, 117-111, 119-109. Julie Letterman had the 119-109 card, which I thought was just horrendous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, that fight was not that wide. I mean, 116-112, yeah, 115-113. I had a 115-113 for Lopez. You had a 116-112?
116-112.
Yeah, so he had an 8-4 as well. Can't argue with that. Can't argue with it at all. 119-109.
Well, like I said, I don't scorecard shame because you can go back and look at some of my scorecards and they were totally different than the majority of what people
yeah.
have for certain fights. So I made a pact with the boxing community that I wasn't going to scorecard shame anyone's scorecard ever again, and I haven't.
Yeah.
But I will say, 119-109. I don't know how you can only give Lomachenko one round.
No. No, I have no idea.
117-111, I think, was the lowest you could go.
Yeah, and even that's, I mean...
I was tempted to give Teofimo the 10th, but I didn't.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It was one of those things where 119-109, she's just a bad judge. She really is. She's just not good.
And no, you know, may he rest in peace. But I didn't think Harold was the greatest judge in the world either.
How dare you?
I didn't like a lot of his scorecards.
The man has passed, Beebe.
I know, but
I don't think there's any need to trample over his grave. Do you?
Oh, sorry.
What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry. I'm gonna get a sign.
Jesus.
I'm sorry, Harold.
Anyway, back to business here. My goodness.
Shouldn't have brought that.
You shouldn't. Oh my God.
That was a little bit.
That was insensitive. Awful.
A little insensitive.
That's like saying the Pope is a little Catholic. What's the matter with you?
I had to take that one back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, take it back.
Apologize to the family.
Apologize to the family. Yeah, I tell you what. You know, and it was a tale of two fights in there. I think the first seven rounds went to Teofimo. And then rounds 8 through 11 went to Lomachenko. And then the 12th, most people had Lomachenko or Lopez winning the 12th. So there you have it, man. I don't know what took him so long to get started. And it could have just been the power. It could have been the jabs.
I think a lot of people thought that
Lomachenko was going to out-jab him. And at least get inside with the jab, and he couldn't do that. Lopez had a very good jab for that fight. Like he really impressed me because he really did outbox him.
I think the speed was the telling. The speed, and I think Lopez had the better footwork last night because every time Lomachenko, like I said, pivoted to that right, he turned with him and he was right there in front of him, so he couldn't get the angle on him by. Couldn't sidestep him like he sidestepped everybody else.
Yeah. So it was, and I mean, his footwork was really good. I thought that Lomachenko's footwork in the later rounds, and we all know he has really good footwork, and he wasn't, you know, in those first four or five rounds, I didn't think he was really getting touched that much, but he wasn't throwing anything. I mean,
But you have to look at his body. You have to look at his midsection. His midsection was red.
He was getting hit in the ribs.
He was getting pelted. And he was getting hit with a few good uppercuts, too, but, like, nothing that was earth-shattering. But I think the big thing early on was the body shots and the jab. Because look at it. Look how red. His nose was, like, red because he was getting jabbed in the nose all night. I think that jab was pretty stiff.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't something that significantly hurt him, but I think it stunned him. And I think the body shots kind of hurt him a little bit, too. But
yeah.
I also thought that left hook from Tio in the 12th round was a really – it's a really good punch.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I gave that first round to Lopez or just on based on activity. I mean, he didn't land anything significant, but I mean, it was awful. I mean, the stat they gave in like it was either the fourth or the sixth round. Lomachenko had only thrown like 40 shots.
See, Centurion Sun says, Eric, Eastern Europeans don't know how to fight on the inside. Yeah, but he wouldn't even let him in the mid-range. He was trying to get to Lomachenko was trying to get to his mid-range. Lopez kept him on the outside. So he wouldn't even let him get into the mid-range. Eric was basically saying he wouldn't even let him get into the mid-range. He's not insinuating Lomachenko was going to get in, was trying to get in Teofimo Lopez's chest. He was trying to get in his punching distance.
Yeah, he couldn't even get there.
Couldn't get there.
For as much as, for as much as they tied him and everything, you talk about the belt line, right? Nacho says that he got hit below the belt.
Nacho.
Listen, that was on the belt line. That was a foul.
On the belt line.
It was
a
foul, no question about it, but they separated him. I don't think it was a turn on the fight or anything like that.
Don't you start today, Nacho, with your Lomachenko pom-poms. I think you should put them away now. Take off those Lomachenko pajamas and underoos and you got to put that shit away now.
Matrix.
It's over. It's over. The takeover has begun.
It sure has in a big way, man.
And I will remind you every day that the takeover has begun. You guys are not going to – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's go to the phones here. We got ringside Robert on the line.
See what happens when you listen to me, Robbie? I mean, you would come around here like a sneak thief, like a little sneak thief, stealing my picks. It's okay, though, Robbie. It's okay.
Joe, I don't steal your picks. I make my own mind up, but hey.
I'm busting your balls up.
I know.
I'm just teasing.
Very good fight. I was very disappointed in Lomachenko. I don't know. I know he always starts off as a slow starter, but – last night was the slowest start
slow.
I think I've ever seen. Do you think the 14-month layoff might have had something to do with that, guys? Because I expected a much better Lomachenko than what we got last night.
You know what's funny is that they kept mentioning that 14-month layoff, I think there may have been a little bit of ring rust there. But I'll be honest with you, if he had fought 4 months before, I don't think it matters. I think that fight turns out the same.
Yep.
So, I mean, it may have affected him a little bit, but that's about it. You know, it wouldn't have determined, like I said, if he was active, it still would have determined the outcome of the fight. He was just overmatched in there.
And, you know,
I think, Robbie, the speed was a big determining factor in the fight for Lomachenko. I don't think he's used to being – I thought Lopez was faster than him last night, in my opinion.
Yep.
I just thought he was faster than him.
I thought Lomachenko was sharper when he decided to throw punches. He was definitely sharper. I thought that when he decided to throw and when he decided to, like, after that eighth round, you
timing
know,
was
eight,
way
nine,
better.
10,
too.
11.
Timing was way better too.
Man, he was sharp. I mean, Lomachenko was sharp in those rounds, but he just couldn't put it all together the whole fight. I think, you know. And you say, well, if he could have done that earlier, would it have been a different fight? I don't know. Because in order to do that, again, he's got to put himself in harm's way. He's got to do, you know, apparently they had a game plan to give away rounds. I don't know what that game plan was.
Can I, not the hijacker call, Robbie, can I just make one quick statement?
Go right ahead.
People, Sean Newton made a statement in the chat. He's like, well, the game plan was to give up the early rounds and tire Lopez out. In the late rounds, I think that was
that
pretty much
any
what
sense. Yeah, that doesn't make
sense.
Yeah,
so we're gonna wake up. We're in training camp, saying, "Okay, now we're gonna make sure we lose these first six. We're gonna make sure we lose these first seven rounds on purpose, just so we can tire this guy out."
Who does
now, he
that?
Woke. He woke up. He woke up in the morning saying, "Yeah, I'm just gonna give these rounds away for free for nothing."
Yeah.
Well,
idiot.
Andre Ward, who is much better than Tim Bradley. I wish they'd get rid of Tim Bradley and make it Andre Ward as the main person. He even indicated last night, he said Lomachenko was not prepared for what he was seeing because he thought Lopez was a lot slower than he was. And Andre Ward pointed that out several times last night throughout the fight, that Lopez was much faster and Lomachenko did not know how to deal with that.
So funny in the chat. yesterday too, because like after five rounds, everyone was like, "Oh, this is over. Lomachenko's done."
I thought the same thing. I mean, the fight's going one way. I mean, the first seven rounds, I'm like, I can't even give this guy a round. I mean, it's
well,
crazy.
After the first seven rounds, I had it 6-1 Lopez, and I'm thinking to myself, am I scoring this correctly, or what am I seeing here? You know.
Which round in the first seven did you give Lomachenko? Did you give him the second?
The second, yeah. I gave him the second.
Yeah. That's a lot of people gave him the second, but
I don't think he won the second, but there are a good amount of people that gave him the second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you score the 12th, Robbie? Who did you give the 12th to?
I gave the 12th to Lopez. I gave Lomachenko the second, the eighth, the ninth, the 10th, and the 11th.
Can I ask you a question, Robbie? Did you think Lopez could? You think Lopez possibly could have got the eighth round or no?
I thought it was possible. I almost gave it to him, but I decided to give it to Lomachenko.
Yeah, I almost gave him the eighth round, but
yeah.
I didn't.
You know,
what did you think of Julie Letterman's scorecard, Robert?
Absolutely disgusting. I mean, I started to worry about my own scorecard, Eric, after the first seven rounds. I'm thinking, am I scoring something wrong here? But, you know, it looks like she only gave him I don't know what round she gave him, but she didn't bother to give him anything else.
Wasn't it 10th or 11th?
You know.
I think it was 10th or 11th she gave him.
I cannot figure her – you know, that's a terrible job on her part. For as many fights as she's judged – that is one of the most disgusting scorecards she's ever turned in. It's almost like Adelaide Bird, down that territory. It was disgusting.
On that same line, Bob Arum actually came out last night, and he says that he would talk to the commission and everything like that, but he doesn't want Letterman judging any of those fights.
No,
that's big. That's big,
now,
man.
Now I'm interested to see where Lopez goes, because he's got all four titles now at 135. Does he stay at 135? Or he actually talked about last night going up to 140.
No, he's going up to 140. He's going to fight the winner of Taylor and Ramirez.
Yeah, he's fighting the winner of that unification fight.
Well, you know what? I think he's got a good shot against either one of those guys.
I think he beats either one of those guys in my opinion.
That's so
right.
Too. I think he rolls over him.
Got a new star on the sport of boxing. You guys are just gonna have to deal with it.
I think so too. I mean, that's the thing, man. I think that he beats. I think he beats Progress. I think he beats Taylor. I think he beats any one of those guys.
You guys gotta face the fact that the takeover has begun.
I would like to see him and Devin Haney fight, but that fight's not gonna come together.
Eric, he even talked about that after the fight last night. He said he would love to fight Devin Haney. You know, that's one of the people he mentioned.
But there's not money in it. There's more money in the other side. And there's little upside to that fight. Because I think that's a walk for Devin. I think Devin Haney, like I said, man, I told you this last night and, you know, even before all this. But I think Devin Haney is probably one of the best fighters in the world. He's like Floyd Mayweather 2.0.
Right.
I think he's just unhittable, man. I think he's just that guy. He's just too tough to beat. His defense is solid. I don't think anybody really beats him.
Right. But
there's no real upside for Teofimo to fight that guy. None.
No. But no, I think Lopez. If he's given the right opportunity, I think he takes all four belts at 140, and look out welterweight division. That's what I say.
Yeah, I think I think he eventually moves up. I think he only has one or two fights. Honestly, I think he only has, less than three fights at 140.
Right.
And then he's going up to welterweight.
Yep.
147, yeah.
Yeah. Because he'll fight maybe once before he fights Ramirez or Taylor.
Right.
And then after that fight, then he's going to move up because he'll have all the belts at that point.
I think he's going to be awesome at 140.
I mean,
this guy has a real good look on under 20 fights to be a two division undisputed champion.
That's he's 16-0 with 12 knockouts. Boxing is his oyster right now. He can do anything he wants, provided the boxing politics doesn't get in the way.
Well, look, man. I mean, you know, once he moves up to 147, Crawford's right there for him because he's in top rank also.
Yeah, that's a tough.
That's a monster fight right there. But Crawford's getting older.
I don't feel comfortable picking against Crawford, even with Spence. He's just such a good fighter, man.
Crawford is really good. Yeah,
he's such a great fighter.
The problem is, can Top Rank and the PBC actually agree on that fight? Because look at the issues they're having with Wilder and Fury, getting the third fight off. And I hope that fight does not happen. I don't think he deserves a third fight with Tyson Fury. But Top Rank and PBC, they need to learn to start negotiating because there are some great fights to be made between those two organizations. But they need to learn to sit down at the table and actually make those things happen.
Right.
Nacho, do you think I give two shits what Mike? Mike Montero is another guy.
It's a friend of the show.
He's another guy that has Lomachenko underoos and freaking pajamas. 116 and 112 and 117, 111 were not bad scorecards for Lopez.
No, 117 or 111 might be a little wide, maybe a little wide. I don't know. I can make a case for that. I can make a case for 117.
I almost gave Lopez the eighth, and if I gave him the eighth, I would have had it 117 and 111.
Yeah, you know what? I can make a case for that.
I scored 115, 113 for Lopez, 7-5.
I don't know if Montero scored it. But somebody had tweeted out that they had it a draw, and I think Montero commented, "Yeah, that's about how I had it."
The
119 was way off base.
The
only scorecard I saw last night that had it a draw was Andre Ward's. That's the way he scored it.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Maybe you can make a case for a draw. Maybe.
Nacho, when did I say that 8 and 9 should have gone to Lopez? What are you talking about?
Well, hang on, because we'll put Nacho on in a minute. I think Nacho's on.
I didn't give Lopez the 8th. I gave Lomachenko 8, 9, 10, and 11. I added 8-4.
We're gonna put Nacho on. Nacho's on the line now.
What are you talking about?
In a second.
What are you talking about, Nacho? I didn't give. Who gave Lopez the 8th and 9th rounds? Jesus Christ, what are you talking about?
So, Robert, what do you think is next for Lopez?
If he doesn't move up, I would love to see him fight the winner of Tank Davis, Leo Santa Cruz.
I think he's too big for Davis.
But that's why. That's why I think Santa Cruz is going to beat Davis.
No, they could fight at 135. I mean, I think he's, like, height-wise and reach-wise, he's too big. But, I mean, Davis is 135-pounder.
Yeah, I still think Teofimo walks that fight. I don't think that's even competitive.
I don't think Davis is going to get that opportunity because I think Leo is going to beat Davis.
You think Leo is going to beat Davis?
Yep, I think Leo is going to beat Davis. That'll be a hell of a night. ESPN is going to show the debut of the United States debut of the monster.
Stop stealing my picks, Robbie.
I'm taking Davis in that fight, man. I tell you, he looks good. He looks really good. He's impressed me.
ESPN is going to show the debut of the monster in the United States, and we're going to have the pay-per-view of Leo Santa Cruz and Davis. That'll be a hell of a
Halloween
boxing night.
Packed.
Nacho, what is wrong with the 116-112 scorecard? Everyone scored at 116 and 112.
Hang tight, B, because we're going to go to Nacho now.
Robert,
we're going to get running here, and thanks for calling, and make sure to tune into his podcast. All right, man. All right, now we're going to go to Nacho, and then we're going to go to Kevin from Chicago. So, Kevin, hang in there. 8:05, you're live.
Nacho, what is wrong with you?
Caller of the year.
What is wrong with you, man? Are you
Stop taking it so personal.
Accept the fact.
Jeez.
Except
he won. He won. He won.
I'm getting
I give him.
I'm
I give him his credit.
Wait.
What the hell?
You,
no. Come on, man. No. Let's just.
You're
stop.
Making me nervous.
Robbie had it right. Robbie had it right. Robbie Lopez won 7-5. Anybody scoring an 8-4 or 9-3 is out of their fucking mind. There is no way he won
eight or nine rounds.
No, they did not. Go on Twitter. Not everybody scored an 8-4.
The majority of the people scored it 8-4. Ask anyone. Go in the chat. Everyone had it 8-4.
No,
yeah, you can't argue.
On.
I don't think you can argue with an 8-4. I really don't. I don't think you can argue with an 8-4.
I think 8-4 is being generous to Lopez, Eric, to be honest.
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
really
let's break it down here.
Let's break it down,
Nacho. Hang on one second.
He won the first seven rounds.
Okay,
hold on.
Let me ask him. Let me ask him here.
Wait, B.
All right, so let me ask you.
Lopez did not win the first
Nacho, wait a second.
Come on.
Okay, so wait a second. Guys, wait a second. Let me talk here.
Good.
All right. So what rounds did you give him in the first seven rounds? What rounds did you give Loma in the first seven?
The only round I gave Loma was round two. I thought Lopez won every round, one, and then three through seven.
See, I thought round two, but again, now I gave Loma the 12th round. All right, but
you gave him the
12th.
I disagree on that one, Eric, because the 12th.
Well, I disagree on round two. I disagree on round two.
Just like a lot of people look
at me and say, how could you give him the 12th round? I look at the second round with minimal output and say, how could you give it to him?
So he gave him the second round.
What else did you give him? 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And then in the 12th,
now,
I
is
gave
it plausible?
To
but yeah, but listen, isn't it plausible that you can give – let me ask you. Isn't it plausible that you can give him the second round, Lopez the second round? Did you think it was that decisive?
Honestly, and I watched the fight twice, and this is just my opinion, Eric. I honestly thought Lopez missed a lot of shots in the second round, and I thought Loma landed a couple of shots that gave him the round at the end. I felt like he stole round two. But I gave Lopez round 12 after Loma had taken 8 through 11 because he stood his ground, he fought back, and he was able to back up Lomachenko. And that right there was the way the fight ended for me, winning seven.
Right, but you realize we're only talking about one round.
Nacho.
I mean, think about it. I mean,
yeah,
from a 7-5 to an 8-4 is only one round.
Nacho, no disrespect.
But I'm just talking about
nitpicking. Yeah, nitpicking. You're really nitpicking here, Nacho. You really are.
Oh, okay, Beep. Come on, really? One round is nitpicking? Really?
This is what you're doing, Nacho. You scored a 115 and 113, right? So you're saying it's impossible for anyone else. So you're saying every single person that watched that fight has to score at 115 and 113, or they're wrong.
No, but
that's
very narrow. I'm not buying 117,
right,
111,
I'll
and I'm not buying 119, 109 either.
You can make an argument. You can make
Come
an
on.
Argument that maybe one that well listen to me now. Listen to me. I'm giving you a little bit of leeway here. You can make an argument that maybe 117 and 111 was too wide. But 116 and 112 is not a bad scorecard. Come on, Nacho. Come on.
I'll say it's borderline, to be honest. I'll say it's borderline. It's possible.
No one gave him round two.
The judges had it 1 through 7. I think they had him win in the first seven, right?
No judge gave him round two.
They had him
win
in the first seven.
I didn't give him round two. Eric didn't give him round two. The majority of people in the chat didn't give him round two. You have to concede at that point that maybe you scored round two incorrectly. Possible. You could have been
well,
talking
I think it's totally. I think it's possible that I scored round 12 incorrectly.
Yeah, but
you don't
worry about that. You're part of the show.
Yeah, but see, that's what I mean.
Is it possible that maybe you went into the bathroom that round and you missed some of it? You had it, like maybe you were drinking a lot of beer and had to take
fight.
A piss that round?
No.
Is it possible?
I watched the whole fight. Come on, Beam. Really?
Is it possible that maybe you like you were eating popcorn and you were like looking down at the popcorn for maybe three, like, you sure you didn't miss anything that round?
Were you like the judge in the Ritson fight where you were looking at your phone during the fight? I mean,
absolutely not. Beeb is being Terry O'Connell right now. It feels like he filled out his scorecard before the fight even started at this point. Seriously, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on,
like,
Nacho.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Nacho.
Yeah, come
Nacho,
on.
Nacho, the only round, Nacho, our scorecards were identical except for the second. Will you stop it, please?
Eric just gave Loma the 12. So how are you saying that I'm the only one that? Come on, Beef. Eric just said he gave
Nacho,
him the 12.
You're in the 12. Nacho, you're in the minority. I'm just telling you, you're in
Come
the minority.
Well, he had a 115-113. I had the same score. I had a 115-113 for Lopez.
Yeah.
Everybody had it. I gave it to Lopez.
I gave it to Lopez, but come on. Like, really, 9, 10, that's just outrageous. And 8, I think, is literally giving benefit of the doubt to Lopez in almost every single round, to be honest. It almost feels like everybody's discrediting what Loma did. It's like, dude, come on. To me, you're stretching really hard to give Lopez eight rounds. You realize in round two,
Lopez outlanded Lomachenko 11 punches to 2.
Back and watch the fight. Lopez literally was swinging and missing, and they only gave him the round because he was a lot more active than Loma. He never landed anything that you said, like, oh, my God.
How many punches? He's literally dominating the round.
Loma
landed 2 punches at the end, and you want to give him the round based off of that? Are you crazy?
But then I'm supposed to give it to Lopez because he was swinging and missing? Come on. Like, is that how we score rounds now, swinging and missing?
Nacho, you want to be an amateur judge now? You don't want to score body punches now? You want to be an amateur judge?
He wasn't hitting him into the body.
You don't want to
Look at his stomach. He wasn't hitting him to the body all night. He landed to the body.
Does anybody know what Andre Ward did? Andre Ward give him the 12th round, or how did he have it scored?
Ward gave it to Lopez. He scored the seventh and the second for Lomachenko.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was a bad. Lomachenko's rib cage was so red it looked like he had a rash. It looked like he had eczema. That's how red his midsection was. It was that bad. Come on, Nacho. You know what I'm a little disappointed at. I love you to death. You're the caller of the year.
Caller of the year.
I my eyes light up when you're calling every week because I just love the fact that you're such a passionate, you know, loyal boxing fan. You're a credit to the sport. But when you talk like this, it diminishes that credibility a little bit. But let me just say this, Nacho.
Come on, Beeb, really? So we have a difference of opinion here, and now all of a sudden my credibility is called into question? Now you really are homering for Lopez at this point.
Come on, man. Take off the Lopez pom-pom and stop saying the takeover shit.
Come on now. Let's stop.
I'll retract the last statement, but here's one thing that bothers me about what you're doing right now. Let me just say this one thing. You have a transition in the sport of boxing. You have a new star, the passing of the torch. You should be excited about that, Nacho. But you seem a little bit
unhappy.
You seem a little bit unhappy.
The only thing I'm unhappy about, I'm not taking nothing away from Lopez. Lopez did what he had to do to win. He won. That's great. My whole thing is I just felt like Lomachenko gave that fight away, to be honest. He gave that fight away. If he had legitimately fought anywhere near what he fought towards the end at the beginning, I think we're talking about a different fight. My whole thing is people are just kind of kicking dirt on Loma like he's done. Like, that's the only thing that I have
Shouldn't
a problem
be done,
with right now.
That should be done.
People are kicking dirt on Loma because he lost.
But everyone that picked Lopez before this fight, all the Lomachenko fanatics acted like Loma was Superman. He never gets hit, never makes mistakes. He's the best of all time. It's impossible for Lopez to beat him. So you got to understand why we're coming back at people, because for weeks, people like myself, G-Funky, D-Style Boxing, reputable analysts here on YouTube, we were being cyber-bullied, Nacho, insulted. So you have to understand why we have this.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is,
can you show a little empathy? There's no reason why I should have to endure being cyber-bullied. after all I've given to this to YouTube.
I didn't say you had to endure any cyberbullying, Beeb. You know, I'm just saying is that the only thing I don't understand is everyone's kicking dirt on Loma like he's done. And to me, he went in there and he hung tough. He hung tough with a guy who was supposed to blow him the fuck out, according to some of the Lopez fans. And he literally hung tough, and he put hands. He put hands on that kid towards the end. If Lopez doesn't win that 12th round, who knows what we're talking about today? It could have been a completely different
fight. I think we're talking about a draw, yeah.
Fight. Yeah, exactly. And that's all I'm saying.
Well,
it's like,
even
don't
then
discredit.
Still, yeah, even then.
Don't discredit.
So wide, there was no way.
Yeah, there's no way we're drawing.
Don't discredit,
it would have been 115.
Don't discredit what Loma did is all I'm saying. Like, people were shitting on him just because he lost. And it's like, come on, man. Like, he didn't get laid out. He didn't get knocked out of the ring. Like, Lopez didn't take his head off like the way he did with Richard Comey and Mason Menard and all these other fucking dudes that he knocked out. Like, give the man his due. He went in there and he hung tough against a guy that was supposed to blow him out because he's the takeover and because he's going to, you know, dominate and, you know, everything else. And like I said, I give Lopez all the credit. He won.
We gave him his due. I mean, I thought he fought a good fight. I really did. I thought
What I'm saying is all the Lopez homers are acting like he just steamrolled Loma and he didn't. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think anybody got steamrolled last night. He got steamrolled seven rounds, but it was a different fight. I mean,
don't you give Lopez credit for coming back in that 12th round like a champion?
Yeah, and to me, that's what won him the fight, Beeb, was that he stood his ground, he traded with him, he got the better of him in the 12th round, and he won the fight. But
all right, one last question for you, Nacho. One last question for you, Nacho. Just answer this honestly. Do we have a new star in the sport of boxing, yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lopez is a legit star. That's all I wanted from you. That's all I wanted
Lopez
from
is a
you.
Legit
good,
star.
Good guy.
Beep, I just want you to not kick dirt on Loma either. That's it. That's all
I would
I'm
never
asking.
Do that.
Don't kick dirt on Loma and say that just
did.
Because.
I never
did. Okay. Then,
Nacho,
hey,
did you hear what I said?
Did
you hear what I said on Friday? Not Nacho. Did you hear what I said on Friday? I said win, lose, or draw. If I had a vote, I would vote Lomachenko into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
How is that kicking dirt on someone?
No, I'm just saying that a lot of these Lopez fans are kicking dirt on him right now. Yeah.
If you do, then you're really taking the credit away from Lopez.
I took this personal because you know why? I was insulted. I was lambasted for almost 2 months because I had the gall to pick Lopez. How dare you pick Lopez?
Beeb couldn't even sleep at night. You know what that's like, Nacho? You have no idea. He would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sometimes
you don't want to talk him down off the ledge.
Let me just say one thing,
you know
Nacho.
Like?
Listen to this, Nacho. Now, this is 100% truth. You know how sometimes you have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you glance over at your phone? You see like a notification?
Mm.
I would check the notification. You know what it said? Beeb, you're an idiot. How could you be picking Lopez?
Mm.
And I couldn't fall back to sleep.
That's not right, Nacho.
That is not right, Nacho. That's why I took this bus.
I had to be the best friend that picked up the pieces. It's awful.
I was being cyberbully. That's why.
So you did a good job.
That's why I took
the
this
for him, Eric.
I did. I absolutely did.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right, Nacho. You're going to get rid of man.
Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Have a good one, Nacho. Take over.
What's the matter with you? Yeah, I mean... We're really arguing. I think he had the same, what do you have, 115, 113, right?
He had the same scorecard I have except for the second round.
Yeah, the second round was not that decisive, you know what I mean, where we could say this was the definite, the ninth round was a pretty, the tenth round was pretty decisive, you know, the first round was second, third, and fourth I thought were pretty decisive. And like I said, man, a lot of people had him winning the second round. I don't think maybe I'm the only one who had him winning the 12th. And I'm willing to say, hey, I was wrong. Maybe I saw it wrong, whatever. But second round, I mean, you got to be willing to admit, too. I don't know how you can give that round to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Centurion Son asked me in the chat about Santa Cruz and
Santa Cruz and Tank Davis.
I'm picking Santa Cruz, but I'm not as confident in Santa Cruz as I was in Teofimo because I don't think it's bad to lay a small bet on Santa Cruz. Don't put a lot of money on Santa Cruz. But make a small bet because you're going to get like 4.5 to 1. I think Santa Cruz can win the fight. But one thing that I'm seeing is I really do like how Tank Davis has looked in camp.
I do too. I think he's taking this fight seriously. And
he hasn't looked this good in camp. He's already at like 133 pounds with a couple weeks.
I'll be shocked. I will be 100% shocked if he does not come in on weight.
So I would.
If he comes in overweight, I will be shocked.
I'm going to bet Santa Cruz, but I'm going to bet him light. I still think style-wise, his style is going to be problems for Tank because of the volume and stuff. And I think he's got a good chin. Santa Cruz is a hard guy to hit flush because he knows how to roll shots. He's really good at rolling shots, tucking his chin and stuff. And you know he gets low, he gets underneath shots. So Tank may graze him a lot, and he may ride out a lot of Tank shots. I'm not saying that Tank can't hurt him. Don't take me the wrong way, but he's very underrated defensively. When he wants to put on a tight defense, he can put on a tight defense. So yes, I'm going to stay with the Santa Cruz pick, but I am not as confident in Santa Cruz as I am with Teofimo because I think Teofimo is on course to be a superstar. That's not to say that Santa Cruz isn't a great fighter, but I just don't think he has the same potential as Teofimo Lopez. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the Santa Cruz pick, but I'm not as confident. I think Tank looks really good in camp. Small bet on Santa Cruz.
I've said it from day one. If Tank makes weight, he wins this fight. I don't think there's any question about that. If Tank makes weight, he wins this fight. And the only way I wouldn't bet on Tank is if he didn't make weight. And if he didn't make weight, I think he still wins this fight, you know. He just looks too good right now. I think he looks too good in camp. He looks too sharp. He's in shape. I think he's taking it seriously. What I did say is if he does make weight, I think Santa Cruz wins. But I don't – after seeing him – this is the thing. When you pick a fight like this far out, you know, I usually like to pick him at the weigh-ins, but as it gets there – I mean, it's just one of those things, man.
I'm an anomaly. I like to pick the fight a little bit further out.
Yeah.
And if I pick the fight, there's only one time I actually changed my pick, but I didn't bet it because I didn't think, you know.
Yeah.
I picked De La Hoya over Pacquiao, but after I was watching that 24/7, and I De La Hoya, he was white.
Yeah.
He was white. He was like emaciated. He looked sick. So that's when I couldn't make the bet. I just said I changed my pick and I'm just gonna sit this one out now because you know.
Dwayne M said, do you guys think they robbed Santa Cruz on the scorecards against Tank? No.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, they're both PBC fighters. Neither one of them are, you know, if they win the fight, there's big things for both of them. So. I guess there's more of an upside with Tank, if you want to put it that way, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
312, this could be either Kevin or Fight Doctor. I'm not sure which one it is. 312, you're live.
Fight Doctor is in the house on Rick James status, as always.
Fight Doctor. What's the word?
Take him to school, Fight Doctor. Take him to school.
What are you taking me to school?
Couple of things. So I was listening to Nacho. I think Nacho should change his name. Nacho should change his name to Nocho. Nocho. As in, I don't know cho shit about boxing. Okay? Because this fight was not close. It wasn't. And anybody who's in, Eric, I love you, I'm sorry, but anybody who scored the 12th round for Lomachenko should join Nocho and change their name to I don't know shit about boxing. I don't know cho shit about boxing. Because this is no way.
Well, let me tell you this. When we're scoring in real time, again, when you're scoring in real time, again, maybe you miss a round here, maybe you miss a round there. But I can concede and say, hey, maybe I missed the 12th round. But anybody that had Lomachenko win in that second round, will they do the same?
Well, maybe the dogs were jumping in front of the TV or something, Eric. You could have been
possible. That's possible. You know,
could have been distracted. You could have been distracted.
I mean, listen,
definitely
distracted. Eric,
I was looking at my phone.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm just going to think that you were having some very good drinks during the fight, and maybe perhaps your vision was a little off. Okay.
That's possible. That's all possible. Right. But I will admit I'm wrong. Well, hey, I admit it. Maybe I missed the round. No question.
And so I think, listen, however anybody scored the fight, and look, it wasn't close to mine, okay? I think there were pretty much only three rounds that could have gone to Lomachenko 8, 9, and 10. And that's it. I saw pretty much every other round going to Lopez. And, you know, the second round pretty much, you know, like the first, where you had Lopez coming forward, forcing the action, throwing punches, being the effective aggressor, and you have Lomachenko in full retreat. First round, he didn't even throw punches. Second round, he's pretty much throwing punches just to try to get Lopez off of him, okay? And you land on two or three punches, and you spend the rest of the second round in full retreat. If you win the last 30 seconds of the round, but the other guy wins the first minute, 2 minutes and 30 seconds, well, guess who wins the round? The guy who won the first 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Wow.
Okay?
Fight Doctor, how did you have the fight scored?
3 minutes. And you have to win the majority of the round in order to be the winner of that round. And I just
class
didn't see
is
that.
Class in session.
In Lomachenko for the
class
first round.
Class is in session, yeah.
Well, how did you have the fight scored?
I scored it.
Give me a score. What was your...
Listen, I'll be honest with you. After the first seven rounds, I stopped scoring the fight because what I was looking at in my mind was just fucking ridiculous. Excuse my
That's
friend.
When the fight started. That was when the fight started.
But he said Lomachenko only won 8, 9, and 10. So he only gave him 3
8,
rounds.
9, and 10. Okay, so you did give him 3 rounds. So 117. Again, man, 117, 113.
Those are rounds that he could have possibly won. Okay? Now, I'm not going
to
argue
possibly.
If he won
even 8,
9, or 10 or not. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. What I know is
he didn't score it.
He didn't agree with Julie Letterman's scorecard.
he could have came up with a Julie Letterman scorecard.
Did you think Julie Letterman's scorecard was too wide?
When I first heard it, it raised my eyebrow, but
okay,
I can understand how she would come to that conclusion. Now, me personally, I don't think I would have scored the fight that wide, having only given Lomachenko one round. But I don't think Lomachenko won more than 3. I think 4 is
he
being
basically way scored at 117 and 111, Eric. 117 and 111.
I think that's a fine score. I don't have any problem with it. 117-111. Listen, 117-111, 116-112, 115-113. I don't think I can argue with any of them. I really don't. I don't think I can really.
But listen. The scorecards are really not important. Okay? The scorecards are really not important. How the fight was scored is really not important. All right? What's important is that we haven't talked about the elephant
right
in the room, 500-pound gorilla in the room, which is this. How do you have the so-called, quote-unquote, pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world show up to a fight against a guy who's 15-0, and give up the first 7 rounds? No question. What in the hell?
Guy was better than him. Listen.
How are you the pound for pound number one fighter in the world and you give up the first 7 rounds to a guy who only has 15 professional fights?
Well, he only had 16 professional fights.
The Lomachenko nut hugging crowd is going to get my entire foot all up in their ass tonight, okay? My entire foot all up in their ass. I've been saying for years that this guy is nothing but a hype
guy. Take him down! Take him down!
The guy is nothing but a hype job.
Get these motherfuckers.
A media, a top think creation. We've already seen this guy lose before. Okay? We've already seen this guy. Look, Orlando Cerrito already gave us the blueprint.
Just call him history.
You have Teofimo Lopez come along and execute essentially the same blueprint. Rough him up. Intelligent.
What do you think about Beeb saying that Lomachenko should be in the Hall of Fame?
Deck of cards.
What do you think about Beeb saying Lomachenko should be in the Hall of Fame?
I have a two word reply to that. Fucking no. Fucking no. Excuse my French. For having done what exactly? What has the man done? Listen,
a lot of people
man,
in the chat say that you're prejudiced against white fighters.
Fights, okay. Well, listen. Real talk, all right? Real talk. The man's whole career is defined on two fights. The first one being Orlando Salido. The second one being Teofimo Lopez. And this guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. What kind of crap are you smoking? Come on, man.
I mean, he did.
I'm sorry, but no.
Win three different titles in three different weight divisions.
Paper titles. Who hasn't won a title nowadays? Look, listen. You can find a title in every street corner.
I got two belts right here.
Okay.
Eric's got belts in the back.
That's right.
Oh, God. Yeah. No. The guy does not belong in the Hall of Fame. Sorry, but he does. Okay? No. He does not belong in the Hall of Fame. No way. No way, no how.
What is Burgess Meredith talking about in the chat?
I don't know. He's mad. He's mad at me. He sent him interrupted fight talk. So I'm letting him talk.
Why don't you let him talk?
I don't even say anything.
You just stop talking over people today, you know?
Yeah, no. The guy does not belong in the Hall of Fame.
I'm still a little rattled.
Near the Hall of Fame. Okay? We'll talk. Honestly.
Do you think Adrian Broner deserves to be in the Hall of Fame more than Lomachenko?
I don't think either one of them deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay?
But if you had to put one in the Hall of Fame, who would you put in? If somebody put a gun to your head and you had to put one of them in the Hall of Fame, who would you put in?
Between Broner and Lomachenko, Broner, I think he deserves it more. At the very least, he has titles in four weight classes, and I think he was actually lineal at 135, if I'm not mistaken. And let's look at who Broner has actually lost to, as opposed to Lomachenko. All right, Broner has lost his.
Hey, Broner from Title Town. I agree with you 100%.
But who's beating Broner? You have
nobody, as far as I'm concerned. I'll be honest with you. I thought he won the Maidana fight. I had a score from Broner.
Yeah, well, I
Title Town, baby.
Okay, I didn't see that fight, but you got to give the man credit for having gone up to his fourth weight class, welterweight, and fought the guy who was arguably the hardest puncher in his division. Now, we've never seen Lomachenko do anything even remotely close to that, okay? He has a loss to Manny Pacquiao, which is excusable, because Manny Pacquiao is a legitimate great fighter. So there's no shame in losing to Pacquiao. And who else is Broner lost to? He has a loss to Garcia, another legitimate great fighter, a guy who Lomachenko ducked. So, yeah, push, come, and shove, I think, an honest argument can be made that Broner deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, four titles, four different weight classes, ahead of a media creation, a hype job, like a guy like Lomachenko. Who, again?
It's got to be call of the night. I think it's call of the night, Beebe. It's got to be, right?
This is the best call in podcast history.
He might be caller of the year. That's where we're going.
Yeah, like I said, the guy's whole career is defined on two fights, Orlando Salido, Teofimo Lopez. Who has Lomachenko ever beaten? What are his top three wins? Let's talk about that. Who's the guy?
Gary Russell.
Who?
Gary Russell.
Who?
Gary Russell.
Who?
Rigondeaux.
Who? Rigondeaux. You beat a 22-pounder at 130. Next. I think even further than that.
Nicholas Walters, the X-Man, undefeated.
Rigondeaux is actually an 18-pounder. He is. He's an 18-pounder. You beat an 18-pounder at 130, and you're supposed to get credit for that. In what world?
What about Nicholas Walters?
Walters, all for a year, coming off an injury, looked like shit in his previous fight. Next.
Linares.
He was undefeated, Fight Doctor.
Benares?
He was. I agree. But he wasn't at his best. Far from it. He was off for a year. Coming off the injury. Looked like shit in his previous fight. But I tell you what. You
if
know
somebody
what,
put
I,
a gun
I,
to
I,
your
I,
head,
I,
let me ask
I'll
you this.
I'll give you the Walters. I will give you the Nicholas Walters fight. Okay? I'll give you that. Now, if beating Nicholas Walters puts you in the Hall of Fame, then that is a very low standard, in my opinion.
Would you put Lomachenko in the Hall of Fame over Chavez Jr.?
Nobody is talking about putting Nicholas Walters in the Hall of Fame. Who?
Over Chavez Jr.
What about him?
Julio Cesar Chavez. Would you put Julio Cesar in the Hall of Fame over Lomachenko? Given all the things that Chavez Jr. has accomplished in his career?
No. What is Chavez Jr.? What is baby Chavez done?
Other than make
like
credibility,
make
baby. I mean, you got to admit.
He was
actually thinking about it, though.
He was thinking about it.
He had to think about it.
maybe an argument could be made, but I wouldn't make that argument. Sorry, but no. Yeah, no.
Can I ask you a question? Who's your least? Who's your least favorite fighter in the history of the sport of boxing?
Is it Lomachenko or Triple G? Which one?
My least, Oscar
your
De La
least
Hoya.
Favorite fighter.
Oscar
De La Hoya. Really?
Lomachenko and
wow.
Are Lomachenko and Golovkin like in your top five least favorite fighter list?
I'll tell you what. I'll have to come up with my least favorite fighter list and give that to you. Probably.
Let me ask you one more question before I jump off here. If somebody's got a gun to your head and you have to pick one to go to the Hall of Fame, do you pick Lomachenko or Triple G? Which one do you take?
Golovkin, easy.
Wow, look at that.
Golovkin.
All right.
Listen,
right.
Say what you will about Golovkin. Say what you will about Golovkin, but at least he didn't lose to Orlando Salido type opponents, okay? And at least he got the draw against. At least he did get the victory, the win over Danny Jacobs. That's a respectable win, okay? That's better than anything Lomachenko has ever done in his career. To be completely honest, he did get a draw against Alvarez in a fight which a lot of folks thought he won. I wouldn't have complained had he got the W in that fight, not at all. So, yeah, I think honestly, Golovkin is more accomplished than Lomachenko. And if I had to choose between him or Lomachenko, who would go to the Hall of Fame, it would have to be the Triple Duck. Seriously.
The Triple
Duck. Lomachenko. the Triple Duck. Andre Ward. Just Duck.
I love that one.
Duck.
We're going to get running here. Thank you so much, Fight Doctor. We're going to get running. Appreciate it. It was a great call, as always. That was good, B. That had to be caller of the night right there.
That's calling history.
History. History in the making tonight. That's what you got to understand. History in the making tonight. Fight Doctor. All right. Who is, let's see here, 773. 773, you're live.
Do you guys think it's a coincidence that guys like Postal, Fury, Triple G, Kovalev, they never seem to get the benefit on the scorecards? You look at Kovalev versus Ward in their first fight. Look at Fury versus Wilder in their first fight. Look at Triple G versus Canelo in their first fight. It's just a coincidence that they never seem to get the benefit of the doubt in these scorecards.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The benefit of the doubt now, because I thought Jacobs beat Triple G. I mean, Jacobs beat Triple G.
No, he didn't.
That's what I thought. That's how I scored that fight. I scored that fight. Didn't you have Jacobs beating Triple G?
I had Jacobs beating Triple G.
I had him beating Triple G also, and I thought Triple G got that nod.
Derevchenko beat Jacobs, and he didn't get that.
I actually had Derevchenko.
Yeah, I had Derevchenko winning that fight, too.
I had Derevchenko winning that fight, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did think Jacobs beat Triple G. I really did.
Hey, Kevin, can I ask you a quick question?
Are you like part of like the Eastern European? Are you like an Eastern European ambassador or something?
No, I'm an ambassador for Fair Fights, Fair Judging, and it seems like they never seem to get a fair shake when they come over here. Tyson Fury's the same way, and he's not Eastern European. Everybody with half a brain knew he beat Deontay Wilder in that first fight, and they gave it a draw.
I agree with it. Okay,
I do see where he's gone, because you look at Kovalev and Ward, you look at that fight, that first fight. You had it, I believe you had it a draw, or maybe you had Ward winning.
I had Ward winning. Definitely.
Yeah, and I had Kovalev wide in that one. I mean, I had it like 116, 112. I mean, I had it wide. But he's got a point, because I do see that at times, yeah. But do you think Lomachenko, how did you have that fight score last night? Yeah, that first one was awful.
So what was your scorecard last night, Kevin? Who do you think won the fight?
How did I see that fight? I saw it. Teofimo won in the first half, and I saw Lomachenko win in the second half. I saw the first half, there was really not much going on. There's no damage. Lomachenko blocked most of the shots. There's nothing significant. A few decent body shots. That's about it. The second half of the fight, I see Lomachenko landing the cleaner, harder punches. Punches that were snapping Teofimo's head back like a Pez dispenser. He was getting his head snapped back like a Pez dispenser. He was nearly out of there multiple times in the ninth or tenth round. Some of those rounds, he was ready to get out of there. You got to give him credit. He dug deep and found a way to stay around just based off his size. If he was smaller, he would have got out of there. But he's obviously the bigger man. He's able to absorb the punches from the smaller man. So the people saying, oh, he whooped his ass and he outboxed him, this and that. No, he had a size advantage. He was able to bully him around the ring in the early part of the rounds. And then he got his ass whooped in the second half of the fight. You go back and look at their faces. Teofimo's eyes were nearly closed, swollen shut. He absorbed the more damage, not Lomachenko.
So did you have it a draw?
You guys hear me?
Did you have it a draw?
Can't hear you.
Can you drop?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have it a draw?
I had to. Yeah, I think that's about the fairest way to score it, a draw. But if Lomachenko's name was Canelo or Floyd, he would have won 117, 111, 116, 112. It would have been unanimous for him. But because they're trying to build up this young new star, then they're going to rob. They're not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to say it's a robbery, but they're not going to give him a fair shake. They're going to, every single round where they could give it to Teofimo, any swing rounds, they're going to give it to him. That's the way this business works. And it's a pattern that's been happening for a long time. And like I said, if I was a foreigner, I wouldn't fight in the States, because they're going to build you up to tear you down. As soon as they think they could build a star off you, build a name off you, like a Teofimo, like a Canelo, that's what they're going to do. They're going to rob you, and they're going to shove you aside.
Kevin, can I ask you a quick question? You don't think some of the damage done to Lopez was due to the headbutts a little bit, though?
No.
Is that fair? Zero. So he suffered zero damage from the headbutts, even when his eye was split open and flow prompt from the headbutt?
His eye was already nearly shut from a punch. He had the redness.
So you don't think
his left eye.
So your stance is those headbutts did no damage to Lopez at all. Zero.
Of course they did damage, but the reason why his left eye was swollen shut was from a punch. Did you see the redding at the beginning of the fight? His eye was
Did you see Lomachenko's eyes with all the red blotches on them? And did you see his nose, how red that was? Did you see the welts on his midsection? What about that? Where did those come from?
Much,
did he fall,
his face
did, did he fall on
that
a flight
bad.
Of stairs on the way to the ring, or what happened?
Whose face was worse?
I could show you.
Whose face is more swollen?
I think Teofimo Lopez was because of the headbutts.
Even without the headbutt. Even without the headbutt, he was already in bad shape.
So the judges, all the judges, every judge gave him 1 through 7, gave Lopez rounds 1 through 7. Would you agree with that or would you not agree? You gave him what?
No way. I gave Lomachenko the second round, and a couple of those rounds were swing rounds where not much happened.
I don't know how he won that second round. I can't see it. Two punches.
Well, like I said, man, I'm willing to admit I was wrong on the 12th round, but again, that second round, I didn't think he did much. I didn't think he did much in the first 7 rounds. I really didn't.
He threw 2 punches in that round, and I just can't understand how people are giving him that round. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, you knew the fix was in from the scorecard. You knew the fix was in. 119 to 109.
Lomachenko
was a bad scorecard, no question. I think we've all agreed on that.
117 to 111 was a bad
scorecard. We can make a case for 117, 116, and 115. It's hard to make a case for we can even make a case for a draw. I can't make any case for Lomachenko winning the fight.
You can make a case for a draw.
I could make a case for a draw. I can make a very tough case for a draw. I cannot make a case for Lomachenko winning.
I'm not going to lie to you. I had Lopez winning 8-4, but I thought I thought they were going to score it a draw. Did you think that they possibly were going to score it a draw at the end, Eric?
When I saw Ward's scorecard, I thought that it's possible they could score this a draw.
Yeah, plus it took a long time and stuff to get the.
I didn't think the draw was the right call. I could see it, but no, I don't think that. Like I said, man, the right guy to me, the right guy won last night. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think it was a conspiracy against Loma or anything like that. But
when I heard that scorecard 119-109, I thought Lomachenko won. I thought, oh, okay, there's no way they could. I mean, you look at the 8, 9, and 10. I mean, he dominated those rounds. He nearly finished them. He was snapping his head back.
Are you excited, Kevin, we have a new star? Are you excited we have a new star in the sport of boxing?
Hold on. I wasn't finished making my point. You look at the 8th, 9th, and 10th round. Those are clear Lomachenko rounds. Those are the most devastating rounds. Those are the most clear-cut rounds if you look at the damage done to Teofimo. When you look at the combinations landed, the cleaner punches landed, those are clear rounds. So
who'd you give,
when I heard that...
Who'd you give round 12 to? Who'd you give round 12 to?
That's a toss-up. That's a toss-up round.
Wow.
There you
it's
go.
Just funny to me how naive some of these boxing fans is. It's naive. Some of these boxing fans are so naive. They think that there's no favorable judging. There's no politics involved. There's no certain fighters they want to win, judges.
Well, I think 119-109 was favorable judging. No question about it. And I think everybody to a person, no matter who you're rooting for, no matter who you bet on, no matter how you scored the fight, 119-109, I cannot make a case for that. Can't do it. Cannot make a case for that. So. All right, Kevin, we're going
to
get moving, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call. We're going to get going. I see where he's coming from, B. I do see where he's coming from.
I see where he's coming from, but I don't think I want to go to that place where he. I don't think I want to go to that place where he's from.
The first 7 rounds, and he said some of the second round belonged to Loma, but some of the others were swing rounds. I make a case for Loma winning this fight.
I think he works for the Russian embassy.
Oh, stop it, Beeb. What's the matter with you?
Sorry.
You think he found Clinton's emails?
I think so. I think he's trying to rig this election, actually.
917, you're live.
Yeah, hi, Eric. Hi, Joe. Milcar. I am calling in.
Milcar, how are you?
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
I'm okay. You know, I had the fight 8-4. Loma, though. Just kidding. I don't know what the last guy
was. I
was
going
to say,
what?
I don't know.
I was like, what?
I don't know what the last guy saw. I don't know what fight he was watching. Yeah,
I
as someone who really didn't want Teofimo to win, he obviously won that fight. Was clear. And Joe, you were obviously right when we did the panel last week, and I obviously got it way wrong. I just really didn't like the kid. I kind of still don't like him, although now I feel he is a little bit more able now that he's won, and so convincingly, I think, to talk the kind of shit that he was talking before the fight. But you know, you just can't give up so many rounds and expect to win a fight like that. It's like you said, which early round did you give Loma, Eric? You said you gave him the second?
No, I gave him the 12th. And I went on record and said, hey, listen, I'll admit maybe I was wrong. I didn't see the 12th guy. I didn't rewatch the fight or anything like that. But, hey, I mean, I may get bad calls from time to time, too. But the second round, I was surprised that so many people gave him the second round. I couldn't really make a case for that.
He landed two punches in the second round that everyone gave it, and a lot of people, not everyone, but a good amount of people gave it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just don't see it.
No, I don't think he won the second. And I know even if you do give him the second round, I still don't think it was enough to win the fight. And for all those people who think that Loma, all he needed to do was start early, I mean, there's a reason he didn't pick up his offense early. He didn't feel safe enough to do it because for the first few rounds, he was obviously wary of Lopez's power. I mean, he might have got hurt really, really bad had he opened up his offense earlier than he did.
We got a new star in the sport of boxing.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we do. Now, in terms of where you guys see Teofimo going, are you thinking that he's going to stay at 140 for a bit? Or sorry, at 135 for a bit? Or you guys kind of see him moving up?
Well, to 140.
I think he goes to 140 for maybe one or two fights. I would say about two to three fights, he'll go to 140, and then he's moving up to 147. I think that's what happens.
I've been saying for a while that I don't really think that the winner of Ramirez and Taylor should move up to fight Terrence Crawford. I think that now the natural fight for the winner of that would be to take on Teofimo. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's
makes
probably
sense.
That looks like it's almost certain to happen, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's a big fight. I mean, big fight. It's a big money fight for both guys.
They're already talking about it now.
I tell you what, Josh Taylor Ramirez, they've got a big money fight with that one. Then they got a big money fight with Teofimo. So,
absolutely.
You know, ideally, what I'd like to see happen is Teofimo move up, fight Regis Prograis, and then fight the winner of Josh Taylor, the Josh Taylor Ramirez fight. That would be great. Now, whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. But that's a scenario I would love to see play out.
I almost
like
gave
that
eighth round to Lopez too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The eighth, really?
I almost gave the eighth round to Lopez,
I,
but I didn't.
It was definitely
a
competitive round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
and that's where the 117 came from, yeah.
Yeah. 9 through 11, I think we're pretty clear for Loma, but I think that the eighth round possibly could have went. I almost gave it to Teo, but I didn't.
Yes.
I gave Lomachenko four rounds.
Yeah, Loma, yeah, you said he had it 8-4, and I can definitely see that.
How did you have it?
I had it about 8-4. I had it 8-4 as well, but I could also see it, you know, 7-5.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7-5 is not impossible.
You know?
Right.
No. But there's no way that Loma won, I think. And there's also obviously no way that he won it. I don't know how anyone could have heard the 119 score and thought that Loma was going to win. I mean, as soon as I heard that, I knew that it was going to be a unanimous decision for Lopez. In terms of Devin Haney, staking claim to being a champion. I just personally don't see it. I mean, I see that WBC title right now is kind of the equivalent of the WBA regular title. But do you guys think that there'd be any chance of him, you know, enticing Lopez to stay at 135 for one more fight?
You know, Devin Haney is on what he's on DAZN, right? He's not with.
Yeah, he's on DAZN. I think the Devin Haney fight.
Yeah, that fight's out the window.
I think it's very hard to make.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
that would be the only fight that would be the only fight that would make sense.
Yeah.
Same. Because I don't see him versus Tank Davis being very competitive, or him pretty much against anybody else at 135.
No, I really don't either. I mean, I think, like I said, man, I think Devin Haney's the guy. So I don't see him and anybody really being uber competitive, quite honestly.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's it. I'll tune in next week, and you guys have a great rest
of
the show.
All right, man. All right, thank you so much, Amilcar. We appreciate
it,
man.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, hey, man, everybody's had their say. I think that the long and short of it is that everybody thinks that Lopez won and it was an 8-4, 7-5 type of fight. But, yeah, I mean, again, man, I cannot make a rational argument for Lomachenko winning that fight. I don't know. Let's talk about the undercard real quick. Arnold Barboza versus Alex Salcedo. Barboza beat Salcedo by unanimous decision. 96-93 and 97-92 twice. Edgar Berlanga. Let's talk about this for a second here versus Lionel Bellows. Berlanga keeps his first-round KO streak alive by knocking out Lionel Bellows in the first round. They're really high on this kid, but I tell you what, G-Funky says Haney is unproven. You're always unproven until you fight somebody, you know? And no, you didn't see that until last night, too. So, but let's talk about the Edgar Berlanga. Beeb, what are your thoughts on this? They talked about him wanting to go rounds, but then they put him in there with a 34-year-old guy who doesn't move.
The sad part about this whole thing is, not the sad part, the scary part about this kid is, he's not even really throwing these punches hard. He's just throwing them at like a normal, you know, just that normal strength, really. It's not like excessively, not really putting a lot of leverage on him. It looked like he was just trying to box.
Yeah.
But he's just so goddamn heavy-handed that he hurt the kid with everything he threw.
You know,
but to your point that, yeah, that's not the right opponent. You put someone in there if you want him to go around because the guy – because Bellows doesn't, he's like freaking, he just stays so stationary. He doesn't move. He lays on the ropes.
And he hadn't been knocked out. I get it. And, you know, this was, but again, you mean, I don't know.
Well, that was probably the matchmaking thing that they, you know, the selling point for the matchmaker is because this guy's never been stopped. So,
yeah. You know, does this guy, I mean, you know, obviously he's got a big upside to him. But I got to see him fight more of a, I got to see him fight better competition. And I don't know that. This is really the best, you know, 15 knockouts and 15 fights, I get you. But, you know, are you really developing him at this point?
Well, it's just scary when you see the guy just, like, throw a regular punch, not really looking to, you know, put a lot of leverage behind it.
Right.
Not looking for an actual power shot. But with that being said, his regular shots are power shots. So that is kind of scary.
Yeah. I want to see him against somebody who's going to push him a little bit. I think his people do too. So
there's only so much of what we saw last night that the public is going to accept. So
right on DAZN, Lewis Whitson versus Miguel Vasquez. Lewis Whitson wins a controversial split decision by the scores of 116-113 for Vasquez, 115-113 for Whitson, and 117-111 for Whitson, and that. We'll take us to our train wreck of the week here. Judge Terry O'Connor, who was scoring the fight, was on his cell phone during the middle of the Ritson-Vasquez fight. During the middle of the fight, B, middle of the round, everything, they got a picture of him looking at a cell phone.
Disgraceful.
It really is, because he's supposed to be judging, not looking at a cell phone. The judges shouldn't have cell phones out there, period. End of sentence. That's it. You know, and I don't care. I mean, maybe he was checking the time. Maybe it was completely innocuous. Maybe he was just checking the time, checking whatever. Not in the middle of a fight. You got to know that's a horrible look for you. And if you want to check it between rounds or what, you shouldn't be checking it at all. You can put it on. You can put it on ice for 45 minutes and go out there and have your fight. You know what I mean? And then check it when it's all said and done. There's no reason for you to pull it out in the middle. It's not like he was keeping time or anything like that.
So that was the same judge that had the effed up scorecard?
117-111 for Ritson. And from what I understand, I didn't see the fight, but from what I understand, everybody thought it should have went the other way. So
just sort of going check, yeah.
Not good. Centurion says the train wreck of the week is for Fight Doctor saying AB is more worthy of the Hall of Fame than Lomachenko. all right, let's take it to the upcoming schedule here. Let's see here.
Big schedule coming up.
So next week on DAZN from Milan, Italy, Fabio Turchi versus Nicholas Grimsunens, 12 rounds cruiserweights. That's on DAZN. Let me remind everybody that we pay a monthly fee for DAZN, and this is the kind of garbage they're putting on. That fight sucks. Beeb, if there was nothing on, I still don't know that I watched that fight.
Yeah,
it's awful.
You may do a few errands, it's better watch that fight, I don't
know. Yeah.
Clean the house, maybe, I don't know.
Right, wash dishes or something like that. I mean, give me a break.
Do some chores.
Yeah. the 23rd from Mexico City, I don't know. I want to say this will be on DAZN, but I don't know. I'm assuming somebody picks it up, but it doesn't have a broadcast here. Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez versus Israel Gonzalez, 12 rounds for Gonzalez's WBA junior bantamweight title. Juan Francisco Estrada versus Carlos Cuadras, 12 rounds in a rematch for Estrada's WBC junior bantamweight title. And Julio Cesar Martinez versus Maximo Flores, 12 rounds for Martinez's WBC flyweight title. Otha Jones III is also on that card, as well as Diego Pacheco. That's a solid card. That's a real solid card. I think it's going to be on DAZN, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't hold me to it. On Showtime, on the 24th, Sergey Lipinets versus Castillo Clayton, 12 rounds for the vacant IBF interim welterweight title. Xavier Martinez versus Claudio Marrero. Claudio Marrero still fighting. 12 rounds junior lightweights. Whatever. The big card is going to be afterwards. The Halloween card is going to be huge. You got Inoue fighting. You got Davis and Santa Cruz fighting. Munguia's fighting. So, yeah, we'll have to look forward to that versus, the DAZN. Jesus. All right. Let's talk about, let's see here. News and rumors. Okay, so this is, all right, Beeb, so I want you to weigh in on this one, too. Bob Arum actually confirmed that Wilder Fury 3 is off. Bob Arum stated that the initial clause is now expired and Fury can fight whoever he wants. Now, Shelley Finkel, Wilder's co-manager, came out and told ESPN, Deontay and I would like to have the next fight as planned against Fury. We'll fight him any date, any place. He then reaffirmed Wilder's stance in an interview with The Athletic, adding, I spoke to Deontay on Monday night. All Deontay wants to do is fight Fury anytime, any place.
Well, he should have tried to make arrangements to get the fight done. Then.
Are we wrong here? I mean, like, really? I mean, well, you know, Tyson, to fight him in England. You know, anytime, any place, fight him in England. You know, because that's, you know, they can't fight him in the U.S. Tyson wants to fight in December, fight him in England.
You know, I guess the rematch clause did expire, and that's all well and good, but I got to be honest, I'm not crying over the fight not happening.
No. Does anybody want to see that third fight? I don't.
I mean, I wouldn't have minded to see it, but it's not something I was clamoring for. You know, I'm not going to be upset if it doesn't happen.
No.
I'd be more upset if Joshua Fury doesn't happen.
And I think, you know, the only roadblock to that would be Pulev. Isn't it Pulev he's fighting next?
Yeah.
You know, again, man, I mean, you had a billion chances to make this fight happen. You didn't.
And I still don't think he's 100% physically either. I mean,
no.
got the surgery done. Probably spent a great deal of time during the pandemic rehabbing the after the surgery. How much training did he actually do?
Brass tacks. Does he want the fight?
I don't think he really wants to fight.
I don't know that he does either. I'll be honest. I don't think he does.
I'm not going to question his courage or anything like that, but I'm just saying, I just don't think he wants to fight.
Well, I think it's a bad fight for him.
I just don't think it's a priority at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it should be.
I just don't think he feels 100% yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't think he wants it. And I don't blame him. I don't want the fight. I don't want to see it. What is the third fight? He won the first fight. He won the second fight even more convincingly than the first fight. What do we need to see?
Yeah.
What's left? Do we really need a third? For what? Listen, and you guys let the contract lapse. Nobody else. You guys let the contract. Him and his management team let the contract lapse. It's over with, son.
Bad move.
It's dumb. If you really wanted to fight that bad, then, hey, it could have happened. You know what I mean? Fight's coming up here. DAZN on November 27th. Beeb. On November 27th, Demetrius Andrade versus Dusty Hernandez Harrison in a non-title fight. Beeb.
I don't know.
It's a non-title fight. Why?
I don't know what's going on with this guy's career, man.
He's being mismanaged.
Yeah.
Daniel Jacobs versus Gabe Rosado also on that undercard. Again, I remind you that we pay for DAZN more then we pay for ESPN Plus.
Yes.
All right? More than we pay for ESPN Plus. And they have taken a dump in the bed this year when it comes to boxing. That much I can tell you. It's been awful. The drizzling, you know what. It has been awful. Joshua versus Pulev set for December 12th. That fight has been finalized. The Crawford fight has also been finalized for the 14th, November 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it is what it is.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
you can't get mad at Cal Brook for trying to get a.
I don't. You know, listen, man. I don't hate the fight. I don't hate the fight, but I don't give Cal Brook a chance to win.
Yeah,
he's a big name. I'll be curious to see how he fights.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see if it's competitive at all. If he goes the distance or if he gets stopped.
Right. Right. All right. Let's go back to the phones very quickly here. Let's see here. Seven seven three, you're live.
I brought up boxing ratings and Beav didn't like that. He said, why don't you just go watch UFC? I was talking about the decline of boxing ratings and how they're averaging like less than 300,000 views on primetime ESPN cards. Meanwhile, on the other hand, UFC cards are averaging like million plus for their undercards, or their prelims. They're dominating their ratings. And it's because of reasons like yesterday, because of bad scorecards, because of garbage cards. And what'd you say? Well, just go watch it then. Why are you watching it? Well, I'm just telling you. If you want to start accepting
with
these garbage fights.
Why are you punishing yourself? Why are you punishing yourself by watching it? What are you, a masochist?
Kevin, you had your time.
No, I'm just going to speak out. I'm just going to speak out and tell it like it is and tell them the corruption, the garbage that goes on in boxing. I'm just going to speak out on
right.
it. I'm not going to accept it.
Can I ask you a question, Kevin?
You really want to continue this?
Can
I ask you a quick question, Kevin?
First, I got to tell you something real quick. You look at Teofimo versus Lomachenko. Lomachenko was one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world. It's a unification bout, and this was on free TV. You got UFC fights doing 1.3 million pay-per-view buys. Masvidal versus Usman. And then this fight was on free TV. That's the state of boxing. Just really, really bad place. Now, yeah, go ahead. Ask your question.
Would you consider yourself a happy person?
Come on, man. Let's just talk. Brock talking about boxing.
Well, I'm just asking.
And MMA, that's what we're talking about.
Would you consider yourself a happy person, yes or no? That's all. I won't go any further with it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, that's what we like to hear. All right, Kevin, we're going to get on it, man. We're happy that you're happy.
I just wanted to make sure you were happy because you seemed like you were a little bit – it seemed like you were a little bit, negative about life. So I just want to make sure you aren't.
Stop it, Biebs.
Just want to make sure you were happy.
I'm a UFC fan. I'm a UFC fan. I relate a lot to Kevin.
I mean, I'm just here to help him out if he needs me. That's all.
What's the matter with you? All right. I think this is Hamed. Quickly, because we got to get going here.
Yeah. Hello, Eric. I got to say congratulations.
Hey, what's going on, Hamed?
Picking the fight, right? Yeah, how's it good? I was just going to say congratulations to people for picking the fight because we spoke on the Saturday evening. And I did say to you, this was not a foregone conclusion, but you're right. Footwork, I think people paid way too much into the footwork. I just think Lopez was the better guy, the bigger guy. And I don't think that fight was close. I had about 8-4, I can live with some people saying they had a 7-5 for Lopez, but I think you could say 9-3 Lopez even was a valid scorecard. I think 11-1 is obviously ridiculous, but that shouldn't overshadow the fight. I think the right guy, when all three judges had it for the right guy, the Canelo 118-110 scorecard was worse because you had it for the wrong guy and you gave Canelo, was it? Adley Bird gave Canelo 10 rounds. I think Julie Lenman, she should definitely be either dropped from a big fight or question, but definitely I think Lopez won the first 7-8 rounds. Lomachenko was backpedaling, and I know some of the Lomachenko fans have come out and they give credit to Lopez and they said Lopez won the fight, but a lot of those early rounds, I don't know how anyone could give to Lomachenko because he wasn't landing, he was just running around the ring, using his feet. Credit to Lopez, because I think he hurt him early. I don't know, if Lomachenko could have done more, he would have, I think, but he could have got stopped, and I think he felt the power from Lopez. But I didn't like a couple of stuff, the way Lomachenko stormed off the ring. I think he should have done him, stayed
yeah,
in
like
the press conference.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
That was not a good look. I don't know why people are talking about rematch. I think Lopez will beat him again. He's just all wrong for him. I think Lomachenko bit off more than he could do. It was similar to Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury for a while, although Lomachenko started a lot earlier. That's why I think Klitschko didn't wake up until the 12th round. With this fight, Lomachenko, I think after the 9th or 8th round, he was... coming into the fight, and he won a couple of rounds down the stretch, but he just didn't do enough. I would have liked to have seen, I'm just going to say one more thing before I go, Lopez. I would have liked to have seen Lopez a Demonini fight, but I don't think that's going to happen. But Lopez, I think this would probably be the best thing for boxing and top rank, Lopez winning. You could get a guy who's a future, a future pay-per-view star, and he's a guy who's more marketable with Lomachenko. He might be the greatest amateur. I wasn't sure he's really even pound for pound number one. And I think you could say guys like Terence Crawford and Inouye are ranked ahead of him now. But I think it wasn't a bad fight. It was a good fight towards the end. It's just a bit of cagey and a bit of a chess match. But I would like to see more of this in boxing. And the two top guys, put it all on the line. But Andre Ward did make a good point. This is why guys don't do it. And credit to both guys, Lomachenko and Lopez and Top Rank. For putting on that fight, and it wasn't pay-per-view as well. But thanks for taking my call, I appreciate it.
All right, man, we appreciate it too. And he brought up a really good point, man. I wish we would see more of this. I really. I,